of what is clearly a more challenging environment in terms of climate change, change of weather patterns, genetic resources, food and agriculture, and particularly that wider agricultural biodiversity has an enormous role to play. What would you emphasise as being the priority actions that are necessary?
What we have discovered looking at what people actually do over the last, have done over the last 20 or 30 years, is two really important dimensions need to be considered. The first is it's not sufficient just to think about one scale, just about the farm, just about the community, just about the landscape. Communities find ways of coping with change and challenges using all these three different scales. So you have your activities that can support rural communities need to take account of all these different dimensions: watershed dimensions, rural community dimensions, and farm dimensions. The second area that seems to stand out in all the adaptation practices that have been done by rural communities around the world to cope with climate change, which has been ongoing for 20 to 50 years after all, is it involves the ability both to use traditional materials and traditional knowledge and to pull in and make and test new materials and new knowledge and decide what's appropriate on their terms. Particularly important, if there's one sector that seems to be particularly important, it's the agroforestry sector. It's the ability to grow new trees and change the trees you grow and use orchards and agroforestry species for different purposes. But all sectors are important. Fish in some places, crops in some places, varieties in other places. And equally important, underpinning that, is this maintenance of traditional materials and traditional experiences, which provide a sort of robust underpinning against which communities try and find new ways of doing things.
What you're talking about is the importance of the interdependence, if you like, of one community on another, one country on another, one continent on another. But the seed laws that we have currently exclude that, don't they? What would you say needs to happen in order that communities have access to the materials of other communities for dealing with a climate possibility that might arrive in theirs?
I think that's a very important, very interesting question, but I don't have any simple solutions to you, Patrick, on that one. I can make the observation that movement of materials is central to adaptation. And that's talking about crops and livestock. But I could also make the observation that some movement, pests, diseases, and microbes may be undesirable. And therefore, there is a, what I would say is there is a major issue here, which the international community needs to confront, that they need to find ways of facilitating movement and in a manner that does not produce the problems of alien and invasives. So it's not going to be a simple answer. Communities usually have local solutions. Most communities I've worked with actually don't stay within a 2-mile, 5-mile radius for material. They do have ways of accessing material locally. The point with climate change is we may have to go beyond those kind of natural limits and find ways of moving material between countries and between continents,
and
we do at present.
And the benefits to the communities are not only that they can maintain those more biodiverse systems, which is a global gain, but presumably they'll be able to improve their food security by having more biodiverse and resilient food production systems.
Indeed, and particular areas going to need to be developed is to find ways in which the material that's held by those who have vast amounts of diversity, the gene banks of the world, how that can be moved out into the production system. Because we really do not have good systems at the moment to move material out of gene banks into the farmer's field. What we need is an entirely new look at the processes that are involved in moving that material into the user's domain.
Toby, thank you very much indeed.